We Are All Criminals is an exhibit and a community conversation for the month of September. It's still on display at the McCrossey Art Center as well as other community places. Today there are two more events at 2:30 at the Blandon Foundation, a workshop for professionals called Realities to Reentry. Registration is required for this event. And then this evening at the Grand Rapids Area Library, the NAMI Education Meeting is holding a panel discussion with Itasca County Wellness Court and Restorative Justice. It's free and open to the public. Last week, there was a presentation at Hibbing Community College with the creator of We Are All Criminals, Emily Baxter, and Samson Longton from AEOA. Samson's the business equity liaison for the Arrowhead Economic Opportunity Agency, and Samson joins us now. Morning, Samson.
Good morning.
You know, whenever I get to talk to you and I, you know, write it down, your title, liaison, is such a hard word to spell.
It is.
It's very, what,
what's
very
his
hard.
Title? That's a long one.
I know.
Business Equity Liaison.
Holy smokes.
Can you spell liaison? I'm sorry.
L-I-A? Yeah, boy.
Keep going.
Yeah. What did I say? L-A-I?
Liaison.
L-I-A. I-S-O-N?
Yeah. Yeah. See, I forget that second I in there.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, that's
one.
What I forget. Too.
That's a big responsibility.
It is.
You know
that's
what I'm
half
saying?
The job right there,
no
spelling
kidding.
It right. Telling you.
And half your job is looking good. You are looking good today.
Thank you. Right back at you.
Thank you.
Well, let's talk about what happened at Hibbing Community College last week. What was that talk like for you?
It was amazing. There were future police officers, future probation officers, and then just people of, I guess, you know, every career field. But I was just blessed enough to have a little bit of time at the end and listen to Emily. I got to hear her presentation a few times, and each time you just take something different away from it. She's very theatrical yet genuine. She's sincere. So I just tried to follow and, you know, ride that coattail, basically. And just talk a little bit about my experience and, you know, just how important it is that we kind of open our eyes to this situation because the labor market right now, we really don't have a choice. You know, there's like I said, as you stated before, I work at the Workforce Center, so I'm an employment counselor also. And part of that job entails communicating with businesses when they come in. Sometimes we have something called Employer of the Day, which you mentioned on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And from my experience with that, there's more jobs out there than people qualified. And we're going to have to start giving folks second chances. And part of that involves educating the community on that stigma that surrounds folks who have a criminal record. And that's the push that Emily's pushing out there, is that, you know, we've all done something wrong at one time. The only thing that separates us is some have got caught and some haven't. And not to say that, hey, everybody should be free. You know, there's obviously a continuum, and, you know, we realize that. But it's a case-by-case basis, and, you know, we just think that stuff like that should be looked at. And it's good for everybody. It's good for the economy. It's good for the community. We would rather have folks. A good question they asked was, how many of you would hire a person charged and convicted of second-degree murder? Nobody raised their hand. And then they said, well, how many of you would want that person out and continuing to murder people? And obviously, nobody raised their hand again. So therein lies the question. If we close all these doors when it comes to what makes you feel like a person of the community, ergo paying taxes, having a job, you know, just being involved in the community, you know, being part of that economy, spending money, voting, hunting, all those things that make you feel like part of the community, if we close all those doors to people, how are they supposed to integrate back into community? It's kind of a darned if you do, darned if you don't type of situation. So obviously change is slow. We realize that. But it begins with education and empathy and folks telling their stories, which is, you know, what I did at Hibbing Community College. I just said a little bit of my story. And afterwards, I was fortunate enough to speak with some prospective probation officers and police officers. And they asked me, you know, what can I do when I go out there and I really want to make a difference. I just don't want to go out there and cuff people up. I'm in this because I believe in what I'm doing, and I want to make the world a better place. And I don't want folks to be scared of me. You know, I want to serve. I'm not just here to follow the stereotype. You know, because there's stereotype on both ends of the spectrum, with the folks getting in trouble with the law and the folks who are perpetuating the law. So my advice to her was just to be genuine and remember this day right now when you're standing here talking to me, you know, because it's going to be a time where you're probably going to forget this feeling and this hunger and this passion that you feel. So just remember this day right now when you're talking to me and remember that you've made mistakes, and when you're dealing with people, deal with them as people. And I think that's just the foundation of it all.
So, Samson, I got a question for you regarding employment and things like that. Are people with a criminal record getting rejected? You say there's more jobs than there are people to fill them. Are people getting rejected, or are people getting an opportunity at least to go through an interview to explain their situation? You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. I mean,
are they just flat out not getting even offered jobs? It's off the books? Or does somebody, an employer, say, hey, let's at least give this guy or gal a chance to tell me what they've been through and how they're doing now? And I'm just kind of curious if you know anything about that.
And that's a great question, because there isn't really one answer that every employer does the same. You know what I mean? So that's a great question. And the answer to that is, they differ, especially when you're dealing with the franchise. When you're dealing with the franchise, they have to answer to somebody. Everybody got to answer to somebody.
So a franchise, you're saying like maybe a Target?
Right, right. They'll say, hey, there's some things that are called deal breakers, right? So if you want to work at Target and you have a theft charge from 6 months ago, odds are...
Forget it?
Yeah. But now if you're dealing with the labor industry, let's say you want to work construction and you have a theft charge, the odds are... You know, you're going to at least get an interview. And it's funny you mention that, because one of the reasons I'm so passionate about this is because I'm a person who has a criminal record. And about 2 years ago, I was working at Jimmy John's. And I know my capability. It was humbling, you know what I mean? But I was just thankful for the opportunity. And so I know the struggle that these guys are going through. When you know, like, man, I can do this, I can do that, I know what I'm capable of, and all these doors are getting closed in your face. But while I was at Jimmy John's, we joked. We took our work seriously. You know, we did what we had to do. But sometimes in times like that, you have to keep a smile and you have to joke. So I just give my message to all those folks out there struggling who have a record and who want to strive to do better. It'll get greater later. You got to put in the time, and you got to stay consistent. I mean, we were joking in the drive-thru, doing Jamaican, doing Irish voices, just doing anything we could do to make people laugh. And now, you know, here I am a couple years later counseling folks on how to get similar jobs that I had, to move up through the ranks and do the things they do. But we also push education. You know, we're not just out here telling people, get that minimum wage job and your life will be straight. We push career and education.
Okay, so you're counseling people on how to get jobs. So what do you tell a person that has a criminal record? What do you convey in them to convey to an employer when they get that opportunity to have an interview? You know, I have learned from my mistakes. I know I mean, you know, what are the things you're telling them?
First off, accountability.
Yeah.
You can't displace accountability. You can't shrug it off as a whim. And also terminology. To say I caught a case alludes to maybe something like a cold. And that terminology kind of takes away from the accountability. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, I teach them to watch the words that you use, because people can read into those. Also, be accountable, and also be honest. You know, don't tell too many details, because folks don't need to hear too many details. You know, once you get to saying a lot of details, it sounds like you're trying to explain, which sounds like you might be, So just, you know, stick to the facts, tell them a little bit, but also tell them what your mind state was. Then tell them why you did this, you know, with accountability, not why, because, man, JoJo told me to do it and the pressure was on and I wanted to look cool. No, tell them about your mind state. Maybe make yourself vulnerable. That's the key. And then tell them, you know, how you've changed, what you've learned, and why, you know, you're just not in that state of mind anymore, and you're not going to do it anymore. You got to turn it. Started out as a liability, right? But you could turn it into an asset. When I got hired for this job, I had to interview twice. They liked me, but they said, you know, you're going to have to come back, and we'd like to talk to you about your record. And I felt like it was judgment day. It was me and two people in front of me, and they had my record in front of me. They went down a list and asked me about everything. It was a beautiful, hellish experience.
Yeah, I was going to say, what did it feel like?
It felt nerve-wracking, but as I went in, they made me feel more comfortable. They didn't look at me judgmental. And also, how many people can say they've even had the opportunity to sit there with somebody and give an explanation as to what happened? Normally, the door is closed in your face right away. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing I want people to walk away with is turn that liability into an asset. Be honest. I'll give you an instance. I had a client who had a domestic abuse case. And he had been tried. He had been convicted. And he was doing the stuff that the court asked him to do. And that's it. And he had mentioned we do something called a self-assessment where you assess your needs, you assess your strengths, and things of that nature. And he said he just wrote down the word karate. And I said, okay, well, can you explain a little bit more? You like karate? Yeah. You watch karate? You do karate? You know, hit me a little bit. What's going on?
No pun intended.
Right. Yeah. So he said, man, I used to live in Gary, Indiana. My elder, who is about to pass away, wants me to take over his dojo. I said, okay, he said, I'm a black belt. I said, well, man, you should, you know, probably write that down. That's different than writing the word karate. So a lot of the times it's a matter of putting a mirror in front of somebody and teaching them how to say what really needs to be said. And my advice to him was give a volunteer class. Give back for exactly what you took away. You know, you displayed violence that, you know, no violence is good. But this is an epidemic. So the only way I feel like, you know, you can look at yourself in the mirror and be able to say, hey, man, I'm giving back to community, and also put something on your resume that isn't court ordered, is give some free self-defense classes to women and children. And, you know, he just thought it was a great idea, and he started to look into it. And it's just sometimes you just got to go the extra mile to show that you really care about what you did.
We're talking with Samson Longton today. He's from AEOA. We're talking about jobs and getting back into employment. You said that there are more jobs out there than people. What are some of the businesses you're working with? Are there opportunities for people?
Yes. So right now in St. Louis, I work in Hibbing in Virginia. So that's the area I'm more familiar with. St. Louis County Public Schools are hiring for a number of positions. And then also the company you mentioned the other day, Anthem. Used to be formerly Delta Dental in Gilbert, Minnesota, is hiring for 21 positions, starting at $12.50 an hour, full benefits, bonus incentives. There's not too many jobs in the area starting at that wage. And they're a great group of folks. HR and a hiring manager came to talk to us. We spent a lot of time with them. Who else? I know there is a number of more. Schwann's is hiring. They're offering like a $1,500 sign-on bonus. And part of the things, and if you feel like maybe you don't have the skills for these things, this is what I want to just quickly go into, too. We have a lot of training programs. We have training dollars. Housed in the Workforce Center is not only AEOA, but also NEMOJET, Northeast Minnesota of Office Jobs and Training. So there's two different entities. They have a program where they work with folks 18 to 24. They have dollars to spend for this program. It's a work experience. If you want to go to school, they can pay for tuition, books. It's targeted towards folks who maybe dropped out of school at some point, maybe have a criminal history. You know, the folks who are kind of disenfranchised and left behind. It's a way to get them up on their feet. And if you have any questions about that, you can call Marie Damiano at NEMOJET, 218-735-6102. That's 218-735-6102, Marie Damiano. We also have LIT, Lives in Transition, for folks who experienced a traumatic event, maybe a death in the family, a divorce, just anything that sends you crashing back. You know, it's something to help you leap forward. We also have a program called Dislocated Worker. If you find yourself out of a job due to layoffs, closing, whatever, what have you. And these are all things available at the Workforce Center. You can call any Workforce Center and ask them about these. I also just wanted to give a quick shout out to some folks at work. Chris, Katie, all in NEMOJET, Front Desk Ashley for helping us out. Also to my grandma, who's 88, who's listening this morning. I love you, Grandma. And thank you for listening. And my grandpa, who's 92, and also my daughter, Kenya Ashante Faith Longton. Speaking of jobs, she's 15, and she has been stressing out about getting her first job. Herberger's called her back, And now another job called her back. So she went from stressed out about getting a job to having
making
options.
Making choices.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, I want to ask you one more question about, so you have someone that's got, has a criminal record, and they, for example, at a fast food place, they are offered a job. And they say, man, I can't take that job. I can't afford that job. Would you say to them that this is at least a good place to... I'm not talking about maybe social, public assistance affecting all that. I'm talking to someone that can survive.
Right.
Do you tell them to, hey, this is at least a start. Show your, set the table, do something good. Show that you have, that you can work. And do you say things like that to them?
Yes, I do. And I speak from a place of experience again.
Sure.
I don't talk with folks. I don't talk to folks and I don't talk at folks. I talk with them.
Mm-hmm.
So when I talk, I usually tell a story of me. I have plenty of other Jimmy John stories where I had to work up through the ranks. But all that stuff makes you who you are. You know what I mean?
Would you be where you are today if you didn't have the Jimmy John's job?
I don't believe so.
I don't think so either.
I think also I wouldn't be where I was today if it wasn't for my community. I need to hit on that. A huge part of reintegrating back into society is feeling part of. And I did a lot of volunteer stuff. And KXC was part of that. They helped me walk through that. They hired me for diversity training. They let me get on the radio and voice myself. And it was so empowering and validating. And I think that is the key to folks feeling like part of the community. So I tell them, man, take this job. Show folks what you can do. And I promise it'll get greater later. And volunteer in your community. Any little thing to make you feel like part of that community.
Is that what made the difference between Jimmy John's and becoming the business liaison, equity liaison?
Yes.
Is that you had a kind of a new community of people that could kind of push you into something else?
I did. I mean, let's just be candid. References are a lot these days. Mm-hmm. You could say something till you're blue in the face, but in an interview. But if they can't call up somebody and get them to verify that, it might not go as far.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I had some great references based on my experiences in the community, volunteering my time, and being blessed enough to have people come listen to me and conversate with them.
All right.
Well, I'm sure you have other things. We're almost out of time. Anything else you want to add to the conversation?
Just wanted to say... also, speaking of folks with records, we have a program called New Leaf, derived from the term turning over a new leaf. And it is in Virginia at the Workforce Center and in Hibbing at the Workforce Center. And if you want any information for any folks out there affected by folks with a record, meaning like if you have a family member who has a record and they're trying to get a job and you want to get some info for them, or you're just directly affected because you have a criminal history, call 218-231-8590. That's 218-231-8590 to register for New Leaf classes and all the things we talked about. They give you some resources and some tools to navigate through that system.
You can always give us a call to 800-662-5799 and we'll get you going the right direction. Samson, keep looking good, man.
Thank you, man. I just wanted to do my radio voice real quick.
Okay.
Can I do my radio voice?
Let's hear it. Sure. Yes.
Caller number 9, you're live. And what's the answer to the question?
First time caller, long time listener.
Yes. Okay, that's all I got for today.
Thanks, Simpson Longton. If you want more information, like John said, give us a call, 800-662-5799.